Welcome to the Contact Center Expert Show. This show is hosted by Nancy Monroe, CEO of Verbal Transactions, a voice enablement technology company. Join our discussion on how you can make your contact center a well-oiled machine.
All right. We are back in our last show of this crappy year of 2020. So today joining me is Krista Hyable. And boy, Krista has been just dominating the contact center industry for the past many years, and has held several different positions, everything from telemarketer to CEO, and just she's just fantastic when it comes to, you know, development in the in different technology platforms, different infrastructures. She brings her expertise anywhere, you know, from shareholders to helping people reach that bottom line. She's launched over 15 successful new operations, ranging in the first year annual revenues of $3 million to $25 million, and worked across multiple sectors from banking, insurance, e-commerce, retail, healthcare, you name it, she's done it. So welcome to our show, Krista.
Thank you, Nancy. Always excited to be here.
Yeah. So
that,
you probably
that whole bio
have
just
a...
makes me sound old.
I hear you. I tell people, I've been in the industry 30 years. I'm like, oh, dear God. And then my youngest child just turned 29 the other day. And I'm just like, oh, no, that means something else has gotten older.
I say 25 plus. I'm not adding any more. Any more years.
Well, good for you. Well, speaking of years, this year has been one for the record books. So since you have such a pulse on the contact center industry, you know, I thought I would ask you, you know, in looking back on this past year, what would you say, you know, other than COVID? I mean, COVID certainly impacted everything, but, you know, is there one kind of common theme that you saw this year?
Well, it's the theme of probably 89% of the webinars of 2020. It's remote work, right? It's work at home. It's the scramble, which, I mean, is directly COVID-based, but it has, I think, more long-term implications attached to it by way of just technology implementation that a lot of businesses needed to catch up on in some ways. I mean, if I had to put a tagline on 2020, it was remote work and work at home set up and scrambling and hopefully perfecting.
No, I think it certainly accelerated people moving from an on-premise to a cloud or some kind of hybrid situation, because I was at a New York PACE event, because you're part of the PACE group, and somebody gave a statistic that at that time, this was a year ago, 70% of contact centers still had on-premise infrastructures, which I'm like, wow, that's a lot. And I bet today, what would you say the number is now today?
Well, I don't know if that's dropped more than maybe half. I mean, I think there's a whole lot of different scenarios that people are working remote in today, right? I mean, everybody had to kind of start from where they were. So, I mean, to say there may be some less than ideal tech stack still supporting remote workers, I mean, we still see that, right? It was like just scramble, get everybody up. Some of that was on their own laptops. I mean, we still have clients with agents on their own cell phones. So we definitely saw some shifting to cloud with premise-based clients, but they have not all completed that. I think as we look into 2021, I would still say half of our clients are still trying to figure out how to optimize operational processes and improve technology for this new format.
Right. Yeah. And just from talking with other folks, it seems like those that went virtual are not going to ramp back on site for the most part. I think they're going to, you know, give people that option. If you want to be on site, you can. If you want to work from home, you know, obviously that's been a proven method that, you know, you can still manage your calls and your time efficiently and things like that. But I think it's
force people to look at their businesses differently, the way that they're set up, the way that they how they're hiring people, the skill set that they've kind of changed the profile of who they're hiring. They want people to have, you know, my last podcast show, we talked about how it can be your first level of technical support is you or your manager these days, because everybody had to like figure out, oh yeah, I got to get my computer set up. I don't have an IT person, you know, standing over my shoulder or setting my computer up for me anymore. I mean, that's been a big challenge for a lot of folks. I had one client that had a lot of people in India, and they were supposed to be given company issued devices. But one guy I was helping says, "Yeah, I'm on." I said, "What version of Windows are you on?" He said, "I'm on Windows 8." Windows 8. Who has Windows 8 anymore?
Well, I think it's fair to say that there has been, in some organizations, an increase in that type of tech downtime, right, throughout this year. Mm-hmm. There, you know, depending again on the quality of the technology situation, when people were sending people remote, that sometimes having yourself as the first tier of tech support can definitely take longer than a qualified personnel walking up to your office, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It, you know, so that's kind of been a challenge that I've seen that crops up. But are there things that you see from a financial standpoint, you know, people having to, didn't have this in the budget kind of thing? You know, did they scramble to figure out how to reallocate dollars?
Yeah, I think it would. I mean, for some, again, you know, everybody was in their own, like, place with this type of technology set up to allow remote work, right? So some clients were ready to go. They were already there. Others were working with inadequate tools, and a lot of them we saw put in, like, some quick fixes. Like we said, maybe it's like agents using their own stuff or VPNs to connect until they figured other things out. But I think the impact financially is even beyond the technology. So there's some unexpected, you know, technology investments. But the other side of what I think has been fascinating on the P&L that I don't even think we know what it means yet is the labor side. So that's what I'm really fascinated with looking forward into next year is, you know, you mentioned like some people are not going back into the office at all. Some people will make it optional, but I have clients that are back in the office. So, you know, and they are not all staying remote. I mean, they might have a minimum amount of employees that they allow to continue to work remote, but, you know, it's kind of funny. Not everybody really loved that.
Yes.
And some of them are maybe still dealing with technology challenges or security concerns. But the labor pool shift, Nancy, is what's really intriguing to me, because now for this big shift of employees that are working remote, that will stay working remote, for the businesses that are now transitioning to a full remote onboarding and training process, like, we just kind of shuffled up the labor market, right? Before, I might have only been hiring in this certain region for my brick and mortar operation, but now if I'm really remote and hiring and onboarding remote, I can recruit nationwide, and my competition just got a lot bigger. So, you know, that is, we've seen that drive labor costs for certain skill sets and in areas with agents up a little bit, but that'll be countered on the P&L with a lack of, you know, infrastructure overhead, brick, you know, the actual leasing and stuff. So we're curious about how all that kind of settles down.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, because, you know, now that you can just, you're not limited to a geographic territory in your labor pool, you know, certainly is broadened. But because we've even seen that with our simulator, you know, some people saw it as a way to, because the nesting process or the shadowing, whatever people call it, different things, but you don't have the luxury of sitting next to somebody and listening in on their call. So we're like, well, hey, you know, use our simulator, because it's basically, you know, it can create a realistic experience, but you're not you know, running the risk of screwing up the call because it's not real, but we can make it as real as possible and then, you know, help you catch those errors before you make a mistake in a live call. You know, so because it's all virtual and it's something that can be just, you know, sent anywhere around the world. But, you know, one of the things that we saw was from the labor pool, even before COVID, I was talking to Walgreens probably about 18 months ago. And they, at that time, were already kind of thinking, you know, we're not going to build any more physical buildings or space virtual with, you know, work at home agents. So they were already the curve there before COVID hit. But have you seen any kind of changes in the management style or more burden put on managers because of the virtual scenario?
Yeah, and I was hoping we'd talk a little bit about that today too, because mm-hmm. I think, you know, technology, as soon as you start the discussion about working at home and 2020 and the biggest challenges, you kind of end up in that technology conversation.
Yeah.
But then shortly thereafter, operationally, our clients were trying to figure out resource management and
mm-hmm.
process, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
for, again, those that were not in a remote work environment at any level previously, the first, you know, wave was get everybody up and on. And
yep.
then it was, you know, watching the impact of what that meant. There was, a period of great happiness when we had several clients say, oh, my gosh, we've had, like, perfect attendance for, like, 2 weeks, right? I don't think
right.
that phase lasted through the whole of 2020,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, you have to still manage performance. In a
mm-hmm.
traditional contact center, P&L labor is your biggest expense, so your
yep.
productivity, your utilization, and so I think our clients learned very quickly, and we assisted many of them with escalating through this learning to make it most effective. Like, how do we modify just day-to-day employee
mm-hmm.
engagement
mm-hmm.
and coaching, you know, processes to keep this operation on track? And
right.
So that's been a really big part of what we've been working with clients on, as much as the technology strategy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really important because plus everybody is Zoom. What's the word I'm looking for? Tired or whatever. They've just been
I'm Zoom tired, Nancy.
Teams
let
out.
Me tell you.
Yeah.
So I started my business and we have always been virtual. My motto has always been, I want to hire the best talent I can. And our clients
mm-hmm.
are international, and we as consultants spend a ton of time on the road. So where we live shouldn't matter, you know. And
right.
so it was funny when this all happened, you know, for those of us that worked at home prior to COVID, you know, it was
mm-hmm.
nothing for me to possibly not get out of my gym clothes all day long, right?
Yeah.
But then
oh,
the
yeah.
rest of the world went home and everyone wanted to Zoom with me all of a sudden. And there was a whole new expectation of getting ready to work remote,
yes.
right, when the world got
yes.
Zoom crazy this year. So. We
laughed yeah, it's
about
like
that.
Yeah, I've been, and I'm in the same boat. I've been working virtually for probably 18 years, and it was just like, "What you want on camera?" No,
yeah, I got over all those video conferences in a really big hurry. But
oh,
ironically,
yeah, yeah.
that's one of the biggest things that, you know, speaking about video and Zoom, I mean, and
mm-hmm.
you know, Zoom, Microsoft Teams have become like critical tools
uh-huh.
now, those types
uh-huh.
of tools within the contact center. I mean, we see a lot of usage of Microsoft Teams. And you know, getting supervisors and frontline personnel to be working together, not just through chatting, but in video
mm-hmm.
and setting up processes
mm-hmm.
that are intentional around that. You know, I think it's brought a whole different employee engagement focus. More discussion not only on, like, video tools and how and when do we coach and how and when do we communicate and how do we maintain culture, you know, in this
right.
new scenario.
Right.
And then I think, you know, again, how do we stay competitive in a whole different landscape labor pool? Yeah, lots of process and resource management questions to revisit.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny you bring up Teams because Microsoft's been one of our clients, and we use their speech enablement platform that's built into Windows. And so I was trying to test out a Windows virtual desktop to put some of our technology stack into, and it wasn't supporting localized voice. in that virtual environment. But this was like back in May or June we were testing out. And then I went back into it again. And because of COVID and because people were using Teams early on, Teams did not support VoIP, you know, or using the, you know, recording and things like that. I'm like, what? Why would they even have a thing like that? So it accelerated their roadmap to get all the voice functionality into Teams, because everybody's, you know, trying to collaborate through there and not be on the phone or record the local audio and things like that. So that now in a Windows virtual environment in Azure, I can use our tools and our tech stack, because that forced them to kind of, you know, make sure all that stuff worked from a virtual desktop, not just an RDP connection, but a true Windows virtual desktop, that they've kind of really accelerated getting that out there because of so many people working virtually. So it's been kind of interesting to see how fast they kind of, you know, hit on that functionality to get it working.
Yeah, that's like, I think that, you know, like trying to keep, you know, a good communication and engagement and playing around with the right tools is a really important mm-hmm. part of keeping efficiency and happy agents. And we're always really big on happy agents on our side.
Yeah,
right.
That definitely
means better customer experience, better retention, better skill set.
Yeah. Now, from a KPI standpoint, what are the key indicators? Is it still customer satisfaction? I see a lot of organizations, even just my own experience interacting with different, you know, brands and things like that. Are they just doing one or two metrics, or do you see people still kind of over like many, many measurements, or have they kind of narrowed that stack down?
No, I don't think so. You mean like key performance indicators, different
mm-hmm,
KPIs
mm-hmm.
on the floor? Yeah, no, I don't think that they've changed. I think that was one of the things that a lot of our clients kind of learned going through this transition,
mm-hmm.
you know, and having those that had not ever managed remote staff and were maybe a little more nervous about what that would look like. I think what we learned this year is that we can have the same expectations. And again, in some areas
mm-hmm.
around attendance and, you know, I think they've seen, some of my clients have seen improvement, sales, you know, conversion.
Oh, sure.
It's dependent on the place. So I don't think remote working and that has to require that we give up on any of those KPIs that you would traditionally manage. I don't think it changes how we want to dashboard the business that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen some organizations or consultants like you that they said some of their clients just had to close up shop because they, you know, because of COVID, they just couldn't financially, you know, cut it and pull the resources together. Do you have any clients that ended up kind of folding up shop, or I see kind of the opposite too, where people are like super busy and hiring like crazy too.
Yeah, we definitely saw the gamut on that. You know,
mm-hmm.
we had a couple of large retail brand clients that
mm-hmm.
struggled. There's definitely some of them have gone through acquisition and been acquired by others because of financial instability. And others have had some pretty significant reorgs, a lot of brick and mortar.
Yeah.
You know, retail shops closing, which put more emphasis then on digital and
mm-hmm.
you know, e-com and really the contact center, ironically. And so there was definitely travel. I mean, we all know the industries that really got hurt.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
we had, you know, technology clients that were just booming and expanding and adding agents. We also have some clients that got into some new business, right? There was no such thing in the
mm-hmm.
as contact tracing in the call center.
Right, right.
You know, a year ago. Like that wasn't,
yep.
you know, a project type that you were bidding on. And I was just supporting a BPO client the other day, helping them do that type of a bid for a project.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It definitely is, you know, shook some things up and shifted, you know, where where the capacity needs are, like by vertical industry. And some of that change will probably be permanent, and some of it will probably kind of level back out again.
Yeah. Yeah,
but we don't even know what's
going to
happen next year, right? Like I laugh as all, my team and I and my colleagues and clients all are saying in the last couple of weeks, like, oh, my God, thank God, like 2020 is almost over. But it's like, what's 2021? Like, what? How do we know we want to be thankful 2020 is over? We're not sure yet, right?
Yeah, it's we won't have the election because that was crazy. We won't, we definitely have a better handle on COVID, but it's still not going to go away. You know, I mean, even with the vaccine, it's still going to be present throughout the world because it's going to take a while to get all that taken care of. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, I certainly see that e-commerce certainly changed. I mean, people are not bashful about, just going online, ordering things, having things delivered to them. You know, I think people are like, wow, yeah, I have no problem with all my groceries being delivered to my doorstep. That's kind of cool. I don't think I'm going to stop doing that, you know, when COVID goes away. So I see a lot of kind of the delivery food things, e-commerce, ordering online. You know, I certainly see where people are seeing the value in that, beyond, once the pandemic is kind of resolved.
Yeah, I think everything is a little up in the air, and it's all going to be a little bit mixed based on business needs and what has been the impact financially and what they're finding is working successfully and what's not and where each individual vertical market is kind of headed.
So looking forward, do you see any kind of trends either in technology or infrastructure? You know, where do you see, because people are already, I would imagine, putting plans in place for at least first quarter of next year.
We're starting to see a pickup in what we consider to be some of our regular business, right? Lots of work on, again, exactly what we're talking about, making technology and operational transitions to a more remote worker model. But now this last month and a half, we've actually signed a number of new projects where we're doing kind of some of our standard just overall operational assessment and strategy work, new technology implementation programs. So it feels like people are trying to get back to whatever the new normal is. Technology still is a priority, right? There is still a large percentage of the market out there that is still has to finish some of their transition to a cloud-based or a more secure-based remote work model. I think, whether you want to manage your work staff that way permanently or not, I think what we do know in business today is we have to have that ability to like go back there if we need it, right? So whether we're building a work at home strategy with technology to maintain everybody on or a partial staff or just as needed, like that has to kind of be there. And there's some of the new technology that's coming up. I think, again, security, particularly our clients in financial services and our healthcare. You know, data security has always been a big, big, big deal in the contact center space. And so making sure that is preserved in a remote environment. Mm-hmm. There's some really cool tech out there now where, if you have like an agent's webcam on, you can see like if somebody else like walks into the room, you can like lock down their laptop or their computer.
Oh, wow.
So there's some new kind of cool things like that I think we'll be playing around with next year. And then we hope that there's some, like, I don't want to call it older tech, but we've been talking in this industry forever about like gamification, and which is really employee engagement and reward and ongoing education, right? Which we feel is super important. And we're kind of seeing a little bit more uptick in some clients that are interested in technology that supports that employee engagement in a bigger way now that they've kind of gone through this. So we think that could be another interesting trend for next year.
Well, yeah, that makes sense because you can't pull people together physically and do some kind of like, oh, this team's going to dress up their cubicle and, dress up, competitions, or you have teams that compete and you can physically see things. But yeah, gamification would certainly kind of encourage some of that interaction.
Yeah, I think that there's, again, just a lot of opportunity to focus on the staff side of it and how we're making it a positive. Because in the middle of all of this, you know, not only do we have to support our people from a performance management perspective, like we talked about, or an engagement perspective, but there's a real human side to all this too, right, Nancy? I mean, a lot of people are not only just working at home, some are home and feeling isolated, which has got an impact on it. Some are home and trying to homeschool, right, or share an office with their spouse and homeschool two kids. And, you know, so there's just, you know, I hope that we just, I feel like there was a really big focus in the second half of the year on people, and I hope we stay there because I feel like as an industry we kind of get carried away with P&L and tech and efficiency gains, and but you know it's always been the people that make the contact center industry. It's about communication, right? It's about relationship building. It's about that whole customer experience. So we hope that that focus carries on. You mentioned PACE, and when we did our virtual conference, there was a lot of sessions and a lot of content on you know, just like helping support our employees through this.
Yes. Yeah. I think I was in a webinar where Twitter was talking about how they have invested so much in mental health programs for their staff. They even make sure that they are taking time away from their screens. You know, they're forcing them to like get away from the computer. You know, we don't want you, you know, because you are on 24/7, you could theoretically be that if you're working from home. You know, they were really great about encouraging people to take breaks, to, you know, giving them any kind of resources they needed for mental health and things like that. Because you're right. I mean, it's, you've got homeschooling, you've got isolation, you've got just people afraid of getting the virus. I mean, or people that have relatives that got it and they can't go see them. So yeah, there's just a lot of, a lot of things going on that, yeah, I think you're right. Communication and we're telling managers, you know, don't feel like you're over communicating. I mean, you know, have those one-on-ones, you know, because you can't just do a drop by the cubicle anymore. You know, do some scheduling around that, of making sure you're staying in touch with people and checking on not only, you know, work wise, but just, you know, how are they doing? How are things going at home? What do you need? You know, what can I give you to just make your life a little bit easier?
Yeah, and then all these, and not only do we need to support our frontline staff that way, but they're supporting all the customers that way, because customers are dealing with all that same stress, right?
Yep,
whoever is calling into our inbound call centers today is also stuck at home or fearful of COVID or stressed out about, you know, the kids and family life. And so, just how can we continue to be more human in all of it? And support each other.
Yeah, there's so empathy is probably, I would think, the theme of 2020. You know, if you know, empathize not only with your employees but the customers for sure. Because you're right, they're all going through the same thing, and it's just, you know, I think like if you're measuring average handle time, maybe not measure that so much if people want to have a conversation with somebody because they can't talk to their neighbors. They can't talk to, can't see their family, you know, face to face. So just any conversations you're having these days, you know, being able to show care and concern, you know, and not try to rush people off the phone, you know, is okay, I think, sometimes.
Yeah. I think today it's a little more important than even usual.
Yes. So on that note, you know, for my last question, what do you hope will change in 2021?
I want to go back to some more normalcy. So I guess maybe this is a personally selfish response, but I miss FaceTime. I am a big fan of like being able to do networking and educational events, and I obviously, by the nature of what I do, travel a lot. And so I'm looking forward to what I'm hoping will be a return to some level of normalcy on some of those business aspects.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. I'm a big music theater person. You know, can you imagine being in a, you know, an audience of, you know, 1,200 people these days? You know, so seeing live performances, that's what I guess I miss the most, because it's it has such an impact, and it has a way of communicating, you know, themes and messages and events, and, you know, just allowing yourself to kind of be transported to a different kind of story and things like that through the arts. So that's definitely, hopefully some of that will come back for sure next year.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. Well, thank
that's
you
my
so much
hope.
For, well, great. Yes, me too. I agree with you. And our audience agrees with you as well. Yeah, they're sitting safely apart. So, you know, they hope that someday they won't have to wear masks, as they said in the audience.
I love it.
So thank you, and have a good new year and holiday season and Christmas and all that. So thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, happy holidays to you too.